have to look far to find lots of ways to manage your money online, outside the traditional banking system. And more people are using apps to pay bills, transfer money, and get cash advances. But what are the risks? This is Cincinnati Edition on WBXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to talk about why so many of us are turning to these apps and whether we could end up losing money in the long run are Smart Money financial counselor Michelle Abernathy. Welcome back, Michelle.
Thank you for having me back.
Great to have you. And Center for Responsible Lending senior researcher Lucia Constantine. Thanks for being here, Lucia.
Thank you. It's great to be on the show.
Michelle, why are so many people turning to these cash apps? Is this really about convenience?
I believe so. The convenience of just being able to do something right at your fingertips with your phone versus having to get in a car, drive to a bank, wait in line, and then talk to a person. So the convenience, I believe, is the reason why people are going to these apps.
Yeah. And Michelle, can these be safer than carrying cash around? That's the other option for a lot of people.
They can, for sure. They can be much safer than carrying cash. It's like you have your bank in your pocket.
Okay. Lucia, cash advance apps allow you to access money before you get paid. How are they different from payday lenders?
We've found that they are operating in many of the same ways that payday lenders are. They are trapping consumers in a cycle of reborrowing. So once someone takes out one advance, they are likely to have to take out another advance at the end of their pay period. We've also seen that these loans come at pretty high annual percentage rates. So in our research, we found that they have triple digit annual percentage rates, which is comparable to those of a payday loan.
So this is, Lucy, it sounds like this can basically be like having a predatory lender in your pocket instead of down the street?
That's right. That's in fact how we described it in our latest report called A Loan Shark in Your Pocket. And like Michelle was saying, it because it's on your phone, it's much easier to access. And these lenders are claiming that their products have no interest and are instant, but we are finding that consumers are paying fees and in some cases leaving tips to borrow small amounts of money.
We're talking about the perks and perils of using apps to manage our money. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. Lucia, tell us more about these fees and tips. When I was reading up on this, it sounds like those tips are optional, but I don't understand that. Like, how are these companies making money if the tips are optional? Walk us through some of that.
Yeah, so there are two models of paycheck advance. There is one that is run through your employer and through their payroll systems. And so in that instance, you are taking out part of your paycheck and then the lender will take it back from your paycheck. So you'll have less at the end of the month. The other model is direct to consumer apps, which means that they have direct access to your bank account. And those companies are the ones that are charging tips. So what happens is consumers take out an advance. In most cases, they need that money immediately, and so the company is charging them a small fee to receive it instantly. And then after that, they're actually asking for a tip. We think that tip is another finance charge that's adding to the cost of the loan. But the way that the companies are both phrasing the need for tips and then designing their products, it makes it really difficult for consumers to avoid paying the tip. And at the end of the day, these fees and tips are what's driving revenue for these companies.
Michelle, is there a responsible way to use these? I mean, what if you don't leave a tip? Or, I mean, is there a way to use these that isn't harmful for consumers?
For sure. I always, when working with consumers, always tell them to look at all the ways that this can benefit you. And if there's a workaround, maybe if you can pay this off in 2 days and there's no tip or no fee, see if you can afford to pay it off in 2 days so that you can avoid that fee. The fee and the tips are, these are workarounds for ways that people can get around regulation by calling it a tip. If they call it a fee, then they have to go through some different regulations by doing that.
Yeah. Lucia, let's talk about those regulations. How are these cash advance apps in particular regulated as compared to, a payday lender or a traditional bank?
The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, sometimes known as the CFPB, has issued an interpretive rule that is calling these products loans, which means they're subject to some of the same consumer protections that other products are subject to. So this includes the Truth in Lending Act, which means that they have to provide disclosures over what the annual percentage rates of using these products are. Additionally, at the state level, certain states are taking actions to bolster their own consumer protection laws. I think Connecticut and Maryland are good examples of this at the state level.
Michelle, how is this trapping some people in a cycle of debt if they can't pay these back quickly, if they don't know, oh, I shouldn't leave a tip? How can this really snowball with people?
Yeah, it's it can be a bit of a disaster. The clients that I work with, if they can't pay, then it starts to overdraw their account, their bank account, and then the account gets shut down. If they are getting paid direct deposit, now they don't know, their money can't go into this bank account. So then that's an issue. And then the next thing is now they want to report it in collections, and then it goes on to the client's credit report. And then that's a whole new issue trying to get those items paid, because then all the fees are added to what's owed.
I want to remind our listeners once again, we're talking about these banking apps that you can have in your pocket. You can manage your money on these apps, get loans in advance, and we're talking about the pros and cons. Give us a call if you've got questions, 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Lucia, have you seen the use of these apps increase a lot in recent years as prices have increased and so many more people have been kind of struggling?
I think these companies have certainly seen significant market growth. And in our own research, we've found that consumers are using these fairly frequently. So we found that 1 in 3 consumers reborrowed a loan within 2 weeks, at least 80% of the time. So that indicates to us that they're relying on these products pay cycle after pay cycle. And that is concerning, as Michelle and I have addressed, because the costs of the fees and tips are accumulating and because it's increasing their risk of other potential financial distress in the form of overdrafting their account.
What do you see, Michelle? Have you seen more and more of your clients using these tools?
Yes, for sure. It's almost like traditional lending is something that the younger generation is not looking to use. So this is their bank. This is where they have their direct deposit deposited. And this is where they do their banking, paying bills. And this is how they shop by using these apps. And also, since they built in that loan, they can also borrow basically with no application or anything. You just, I want to borrow a certain amount of money, hit a button, and you have the money in your account.
So you can have your paycheck direct deposited into these apps like Venmo or whatever?
Yes. Particularly Cash App is the one that I see. And employers will deposit a person's paycheck onto a Cash App.
Wow, I had no idea. That makes me feel so old. I did not even know that was possible. We do have a caller on the line. Let's hear from TJ. Hey, TJ, thanks so much for calling. What's your question or comment?
Person's paycheck on the Cash App. Wow, I have no idea.
I'm sorry, am I on?
Yes, you sure are, TJ.
Okay. Yeah, I was saying that, yeah, I work for three different companies, and I have to do that, get paid every day, and it's like a $1.99 fee every day. And unfortunately, I'm like living in my car with my dog. So I managed to just work enough to be able to cover that hotel fee, you know, for the day and gas, and that's it. So, you know, things are really hard for a lot of people.
So, TJ, you know, you're saying you work all these jobs, and are they depositing your pay directly into one of these accounts, or you need to kind of get advances to keep things moving?
I definitely need advances. So I need to pay that $1.99 fee every day to have that money sent directly, you know, to my bank so that I can pay, you know, to stay indoors when it's freezing weather out.
Oh, TJ.
You know, I could wait until, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear you're dealing with that. Thanks for calling in with that perspective. Michelle, how tough is it? I mean, there are people out there like TJ who feel like they don't have a lot of options. Do you see that a lot?
I do, and I believe it's just more steering towards that direction of having the paycheck directly deposited that area. But it can be a little bit more safer for a person that may not be able to have traditional banking. So that could be one of the pros of having these apps. But I always say that before using this, if you have to call customer service, find out how do you get in contact with something if there's an issue. Because if you're doing direct deposit, there's no place for you to go to have a conversation if there is a mistake.
TJ, thanks so much for calling. I hope things get easier for you somehow in the months ahead. We also got an email from Nicholas. Nicholas emails, I prefer using Cash App for people I trust. I use Venmo to pay my rent. I stopped using PayPal for it due to their fees. Please talk about any pitfalls with fees using apps to send or receive money. Lucia, what have you found in terms of pitfalls with fees in your research?
Yeah, we've seen that consumers are asked to pay a fee over and over again, and these products are designed in such a way that make it difficult to decline the fees. And obviously, those fees are just going to support companies' bottom lines. But as much as consumers are able, we encourage trying to use the no fee option, which requires a little planning in advance. But just a reminder that these fees are adding up for consumers, and we are concerned that folks are already living paycheck to paycheck, and this is only making that more difficult.
Yeah. And one of our coworkers here had a situation where she linked Venmo to a credit card, and Venmo charged her a $10 fee for every transaction because it's not linked to a bank account. Michelle, that's something you've run into with your clients too?
Yes. If you link Venmo to a credit card, you will be charged a fee. And they do let you know that. It's up to us to say that we want to go further, but some people may not have that option.
Yeah. Well, we will continue our conversation after a short break, and later in the program, we'll discuss what the search for life on other planets can tell us about ourselves. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about the perks and perils of using apps to manage our money and get cash advances. My guests are Smart Money financial counselor Michelle Abernathy and Center for Responsible Lending senior researcher Lucia Constantine. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Lucia, how secure are these apps compared to traditional banks? And what's the risk of a data breach?
Lucy, I can't really speak to that. I know that they request a lot of your personal information, and for direct-to-consumer companies, they have direct access to your bank account.
Have you run into any problems with that, Michelle, in terms of clients experiencing data breaches or losing money because of security risks?
I believe most of these apps have had data breaches. One of the things, though, with using these apps, if someone transfers to the wrong person, They have to figure out how to get their money back. So again, when using these apps, it's important to just understand what are the ins and outs of, if that happens, how do you get your money back if you transfer to a different person, to the wrong person?
I know a lot of companies, if there's a data breach, they can offer clients, you know, identity theft protection, that sort of thing. Michelle, have you ever seen that happen with any of these apps with any of your clients? Do they offer that kind of stuff?
Yes, they do offer that. But the thing is your information now is out there.
Yep.
So it's, you know, you have to really now start to monitor and make sure you're checking your credit to see if there's any issues that any identity theft that on your credit report.
Yeah. Lucia, these banking apps, as I understand it, don't have the same federal FDIC protections as bank accounts, right? What are the risks involved with that? Can people end up losing their money?
I'm sorry to say that I can't speak to that either. What I know is that some of these paycheck advance apps are causing people to lose money through the fees and tips they're paying. And as I mentioned previously, because folks are basically borrowing against their paycheck at the end of their pay period, if they don't have sufficient funds in their account, they're at risk for overdrafting their bank account.
Yeah, and then that just can be a real spiral for people, right, Lucia?
Right, yeah. Those overdraft fees combined with the fees and tips they're already paying to take out these advances only increase the financial distress that consumers are already experiencing because it's really difficult to live paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah, it sure is. We have another caller on the line. Hi, Curtis. Thanks for calling. What is your question?
Yes, I'd like to know, where would I find these fees that they, listen to the program, saying that they charge you annually for either withdrawing the money early or just the fact that you have this app, you're getting paid, you're paying fees, a charge.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're looking, where do you find that fine print to really figure out what all this is costing you?
Okay, so I just looked in the fine print.
Well, no, I'm saying that's what you're looking for. Let me ask our experts. Michelle, is there kind of fine print where people can find this information? How tough is it for people like Curtis to know how much they're really paying for all this?
It is very tough as you're signing up, and most people are signing up on a phone, so we're just scrolling through what the fees are. You can email and ask them to send you a fee chart or a fee sheet to see what the fees are. Like, there's a fee maybe to use an ATM. There's a fee to maybe use at certain merchants. But you would have to reach out to the company, maybe send an email when how to contact and ask if they can send you a fee chart.
Yeah. Hope that helps, Curtis. Thanks so much for listening. Lucia, is that something your research covered? Are people aware of how much they're paying, or do these fees tend to kind of sneak up on people?
Yeah, I would agree with Michelle. I think companies do not make it easy to understand what fees they're charging. In most cases, they're charging an expedite fee, so that's to receive advance instantly, and that can be in the range of $2 or more. I would encourage folks to look at the fine print when they're signing up for these apps. And I would also say that there's some information in our reports and on other consumer-focused websites online.
Michelle, are there some of these apps that are more reliable or trustworthy than others? I know there are people who swear by PayPal, people who swear by Venmo, but people are fans of apps for different reasons. Are there some that you've found to be better than others?
I kind of put them all in the same box. It's up to the individual what they're comfortable with, but if I had to use one, I would say Venmo has the most, I feel like has the most security. I don't hear a lot of negative things, but they all have their issues. Again, I like to look at the pros, and then you want to measure that to the cons of using these apps. And there's always risk when using apps on our phone. One of the things is they can be hacked.
Sure. Michelle, when you have clients who are in debt because of a cash advance app, just briefly, what kind of advice do you give them? How do people try to undo that?
One of the first things we want to do is check the credit report to see if it has gone into collections, and then we would have to reach out to the collection agency to see how we can address that. And a lot of times at the beginning of the year, we try to set goals with our clients using tax refund to just try to pay it off. And one, after paid off, delete the app from the phone.
Oh, yeah. So it's not there to tempt you anymore.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're running out of time. We have like just about a minute left. So this is probably an unfair question to ask you, but are there ways that we can teach our kids to use an app like this responsibly, Michelle?
Yes. Again, do your research on the front end to find out what are the perks of this app. And the main thing is, what is it costing to use one of these apps? What kind of fees are they charging? What are they charging the fees for? And I guess I'm old school. I would not recommend having my paycheck directly deposited onto a app.
Yeah. Makes it too easy to spend. I've been talking with Smart Money financial counselor Michelle Abernathy and Center for Responsible Lending senior researcher Lucia Constantine. Thank you both so much for your time today. Up next, we'll explore what the search for alien life can tell us about ourselves. This is Cincinnati Edition.